Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Joining us right now as we shift the focus to your New York football Giants is Charlotte Carroll, who covers the Giants for The Athletic. Charlotte, are you there?
Yep, how's it going?
Hey, it's going all right. We just cried about the Yankees for 2 hours, so it's good to get a break from that.
Oh,
are you a baseball fan? Are you a Yankee fan, Met fan? Are you not even from around here?
So I'm from Chicago originally, so I know pain. I'm
Southsider.
Like most of you. I am a Southsider, born and raised, White Sox fan. So I got one nice 2005 season, which kind of will last me probably the rest of my life, enjoying the World Series win.
Understood. Well, these Giants fans have some Super Bowls that came not long after that, 2007, 2011, and it seems like they've been in the desert ever since. But here comes young Jackson Dart last week, and I do these football picks where I wrap my picks every week, and the only two picks that I've gotten wrong the entire season, I picked against the Giants with the Chargers. Of course, the Giants win. And then I picked the Giants to beat the Saints. And they found a way to lose to the defeated Aints, the 0-11 Spencer Rattler-led Saints. Well, nobody's going to win when you turn the ball over that much. Let's talk about Jackson Dart in his second start. A fumble where he wasn't touched. Interceptions. One, I put the assist on Bo Collins. The other one is on him. What do you think about, you know, now a tale of two starts for the young rookie quarterback that so many people love and think is a franchise in the future?
Yeah, I mean, you got really excited. You got a really great breakthrough game in that first start. And then you kind of had the welcome to reality and welcome back to the NFL moment with the second start. And that's the thing when you're dealing with a rookie quarterback is this is going to happen. It just so happened to come spectacularly against a team that was a very winnable game. But I also think Jackson Dart took, when we spoke with him in the post-game press conference, he took so much responsibility for this game, saying, you know, this is on me. We have some why. It's like, well, I'm the leader of the offense. So naturally, like, he's taking responsibility. But when you kind of break down the game itself, like, it wasn't on Jackson, obviously. A lot of this had to do with teammates. And even, you know, the fumble, that's him. That's a bad fumble. But the two interceptions, you mentioned Bill Collins. And what he did on that, but then also the other one came on a 4th and 6th situation, so they almost ended up in a better scenario with where he put the ball with the interception.
Like a punt.
rather than throwing an incompletion on 4th down. So, you know, he looked good when the game started, and yes, there's these mistakes that are bound to happen with a quarterback, but you still kind of walk away not feeling horrible about Jackson Dart's performance in that. At least that's how I came away. I try and maintain a little positivity in some of this stuff.
Yeah, there was some positivity right away. There was some good right away. Back-to-back drives. They score. Efficient in the red zone. It's like a complete change from what we've seen from the Giants. Like, and not big plays, just methodically calling the right plays and moving down the field. And then when you get close, taking your shots. Unlocking the tight ends with Malik Nabers being out. So you had some good, but, you know, this is what I felt like as I was watching that game and taking notes. This team has done a lot of losing. They got to learn how to win. This team is young, one of the younger teams in the league, and mistakes are going to kill you, and nobody can overcome, you know, turning the ball over like that. But they've now got a short week to figure it out, and that defense, not for nothing, that defense got by Spencer Rattler. They've got to pick up the pieces quickly here. What are your thoughts on the other side of the ball? I think the secondary was outplayed, and I expected much more out of the front. I thought Brian Burns and Kayvon and Abdul Carter and Dex, I thought those guys were going to make life hell for Spencer Rattler. He was able to get the ball off. He was able to make some big plays.
Yeah, no, it was a kind of quiet night for as much pressure as we saw and success that they had against the Chargers. That wasn't as effective there on last night or yesterday. I've lost all track of time with travel. It happens already week five. It's never great. But it definitely was not what you want to see coming out of such a really strong performance the week prior. And now it's a good thing and a bad thing that, as you mentioned, the short week, like, they can easily put it behind them. But body-wise, if they'll be able to, you know, recover, get right, get ready. We saw the injury report coming into this week. And there's some guys on there that are noticeable and important players for this team, including, you know, Darius Slayton. Jackson Dart ended up on there with a hamstring injury. So we'll kind of get the updates tomorrow when we go to practice.
Yeah, you mentioned Darius Slayton, and it's tough. Two guys that I think killed the Giants. Deontay Banks has been a net negative. I honestly don't understand why they didn't take that number two jersey off his back and give it to Dart, because we did see Dart has one of the highest-selling jerseys now. It should be his number two. Deontay Banks, I'll ask you, you know, to answer what his role is moving forward and what they're even doing with him. And then Darius Slayton is a captain and a guy that people are looking at the 300 or the 3 years, $36 million and saying, man, that's Saquon's money. We got Slayton for what we could have paid Saquon. Do you think those type of things on both sides of the ball, having, you know, specific guys that are, you know, circled as like, this guy dropped the ball, this guy fumbled the ball, or like, this guy commits penalties, this guy kills us every time. You think those are things that are going to kind of break up the locker room? You think that, you know, the team knows that as well? Because those two guys have been in the ire of the fans definitely this whole weekend.
Well, I mean, Deontay Banks is interesting, and that goes with the rotation that he's been doing with Cordell Flott at the cornerback two spot, and that's just kind of like, you kind of scratch your head with what's going on there. And coaching staff just keeps saying, you know, it's a week-to-week thing. Shane Bowen talked today, you know, it's an ongoing evaluation, and that's been the case since training camp when no one was able to kind of steal the job. It looks like Flott, you know, is playing stronger. But are they throwing, you know, Banks in there to keep Flott a little bit fresher? I don't know. But it's definitely when Banks is in the game, there's been a drop-off and these plays kind of happen. You had the critical DPI. So we'll kind of see what they do there, if they do make a switch or if it's something they keep sticking with. When it comes to Darius Slayton, you just have to think it was a really bad game on his end. He's usually not doing that. He's been a pretty reliable guy over his tenure in New York. It just so happened to come in the worst possible spot and, like, you know, two critical drops and then the fumble. So it's just, you know, everyone kind of had one of those days on Sunday. So the issue for him, too, is if he'll be able to bounce back. He's got a hamstring injury that he's dealing with. So if he'll even be able to play on a short week on Thursday night and what that means for this receiving room. That's already, as you mentioned, shorthand without Malik Nabers and what that reality looks like just going forward the rest of the season.
Yeah, Jalin Hyatt's another guy that people are kind of just over at this point. They, you know, feel like he's useless, and now people are taking aim at Joe Shane and his draft picks and the roster construction. A lot was made about them not having a third running back elevated, and then I think Dable basically came out and said, like, it could happen. You could have a running back hurt and not have three running backs. What do you make of that? Because I think there are a lot of people looking at Shane and Dable, and they're looking for reasons to fire these guys, and they're looking for reasons to say, hey, these guys aren't prepared.
Yeah, the personnel decisions were definitely interesting with knowing, like, the offense was, like, lacking on Malik Nabers, what they were going to do. They went heavy on the tight end, 12 personnel a lot, even three at the goal line stand, I believe, on their first touchdown, three tight ends in there. So that was kind of the rationale from Dable of, like, you know, we were happy with that game plan. And as you said, with the injury, you know, it could happen anywhere. It just happened with the wide receiver core, and they didn't bring up Lil Jordan Humphrey as well. So they, by the end, you had Bo Collins, de facto, you know, number two receiver in there. And then obviously it's kind of understandable when mistakes happen. So I don't know. The roster stuff will be worth monitoring, kind of see what they decide to do. And it's just another thing that fans can point out and be like, you know, why are we doing this X, Y, Z, and trying to understand that.
Last thing for you, you know, coming up here, nationally televised, Thursday night football, I'm going to go to that game because I won't be on air that night. But we know the storyline is going to be about Saquon still. And I had really thought coming into the season, I'm like, okay, this is the season that's not about Saquon. This is the season where the Giants have more characters and, you know, more players on the team that it's about them, right? It's about Abdul Carter. It's about Scataboo. You know, it's about Spider-Man. It's about, you know, these other guys. But what do you expect to see out of an Eagles team that just took their first loss and they're not that sharp on offense, and a Giants team having their next home game on a short week? Anything can happen. You think they have a fighting chance to stop Saquon and the Eagles on Thursday night football?
Anything can happen, but until we see it, and until we see this Giants team, you know, be competitive with this Eagles team that's been so dominating, I won't believe it until I see it, kind of a person. I think it'll definitely be an intense, very interesting environment. You know, Saquon's on there with a knee injury. I think one of the national guys reported that he plans on playing. So I don't know if he's still necessarily the storyline coming in. I think there's so many other pieces to this. And now that you've got Jackson Dart, you know, coming back to make his third start after this, like, disaster of a performance in New Orleans, what does that look like? How does he respond? I think as a Giants fan is more what you're focused on. You know, they've been trying to forget Saquon Barkley as long as possible. He obviously didn't make that easy for them with the Super Bowl win.
Charlotte, we thank you for the time tonight. Thought the Giants were going to get back-to-back wins, but maybe they can shock the world again and find a way to beat the Eagles on a short week.
Thanks so much for having me on. We'll see what happens. I'm as intrigued as everyone else.
Here comes some brand new flavor in here. Time for new flavor in your ear. Keith McPherson on the Fan, about halfway through my five-hour show. We got to start talking football now. But before we do that, yeah, the Dodgers, it ain't luck. This is what they do this time of year. The Dodgers defeat the Phillies in their building. They take both games in Philly. So much for home field advantage. So much for protecting home, splitting, taking. No, the Dodgers don't care. They'll play wherever, whenever, against whomever. They've got Roky Suzuki, who they paid, I don't know, $300 million, maybe a little less than that. It was Yamamoto they paid that much. But they've got him coming out of the bullpen. He's the last guy coming out of the bullpen tonight. So don't be surprised when the Dodgers get right back to doing what they always do, getting to the NLCS, getting to the Fall Classic. Four games, four wins, plus 12 run differential. They're in the driver's seat going back to L.A. But yeah, football-wise, let's play some audio. One is, you know, we'll do the little lighthearted one first, and then we'll do the little more concerning one second. So first is from Mic'd Up, and I did not listen to...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
The whole mic'd up, but I caught this because NFL posted it. It is Saints linebacker DeMario Davis talking about Giants rookie running back Cam Scataboo. And after this, I'll tell you about Scataboo and what I think about the young man. Go for it, Paulie. Let's play that mic'd up sound clip from the Saints linebacker.
Hey, 44 like a bad little kid. He just like a little bad kid. What you think this is? Boy, it's a grown man game. You already let it go one time.
That's 5 yards.
Man, that's 1 yard, boy. You ever been at one of those little football camps and you picked up one of them bad kids, like wrestling with them? That's what number 44 like. I can feel his little feet just back there going. It feels like a bad little kid. Like a little battery back there. Hey, I love the way you run. You got through. That's how you're supposed to play. Hey, I got much respect for you, dog. Keep hunting. Keep hunting.
Cam Scataboo is a badass little kid. He's a little Tasmanian devil bowling ball. You got to love him. I loved him from Arizona State. You know, out there with the Sun Devils, I knew whoever drafted him was going to get a steal, a fourth round running back in this kid. Now he's looking like running back number one for the Giants. Got to hold on to the ball, son. And nobody cares about your gloves, screaming at personnel, I need new gloves. No, you need to protect the football in traffic inside the 15-yard line. What a swing. Now, obviously, the other turnovers were a swing, but that is a literal point swing. You're going to potentially score a touchdown, get at least three, and then they return that to the crib. That's tough. And you know what? It negates another great play that went viral from Cam Scataboo, him versus Carl Granderson. Carl Granderson is a defensive end. Carl Granderson is 6'5", I don't know, 250, 261 he's listed at, 6'5", 261. And here comes that badass kid, Cam Scataboo, off the edge to not just kick him out with the block, but then pancake him Superman style, ride him back 7 yards, and then try and bait him into a penalty. He comes up and headbutts him. That clip has been seen by millions. The clip I'm looking at, Coach Dan Casey, it's got 6.3 million. Jordan Renan posted it. And he says, this play by Cam Scataboo is crazy on so many levels. You have a legit lunatic in the backfield for the New York Giants. But he is a rookie. He's going to learn. But I think he's going to be a lot of fun for the Giants to watch. And this is what I was saying. I remember I tweeted out something in the offseason about the Giants got their next great running back in Cam Scataboo. They got to move on from the Saquon Barkley narrative. Okay, let's get into the conversation around the Giants and the Jets and NFL football, as there are no more undefeated teams. And Antoine Staley will join us in the 10 o'clock hour to talk Jets. Vinny's out on Staten Island, first up on the Fan.
Hi, how are you? How you doing, Paul? How are you?
Good, good.
Okay. First off, Cam Scataboo ain't a number one running back. He's a great third down back, utility back.
He's your number one running back now.
How the Giants front office let Dable talk him into getting rid of Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, and now you got this team, which is probably 5 to 7 years away from even being in the playoffs, is remarkable. You got rid of a Hall of Famer in the middle of his career. Daniel Jones is in the MVP conversation already. It's Dable that can't coach. That's the problem. The guy was a good coach the first year, and he never adjusted his play calling, and everybody's on to his schemes. This guy is a lame duck, and they got to get rid of him. You know, and Kayvon Thibodeau, how is that guy still on the team? How is Evan Neal still on the team? They got to get rid of these guys.
Yeah, it's tough to get rid of these guys because this is everything right now. This is the Shane and Daboll era. They drafted Kayvon. They drafted Jalin Hyatt. They drafted Deontay Banks. They drafted John Michael Schmitz. These are the guys they handpicked, selected, and they told these other guys goodbye. As you see Sterling Shepard score a game-deciding touchdown for the Buccaneers, but you were told 3 years ago that he was cooked with the Giants. As we all know what Saquon Barkley did. Yeah, Hall of Famer who ran for 2,000 yards and took a team to the Super Bowl his first year released from the New York Giants facility. Daniel Jones, people are still saying MVP around Daniel Jones's name. Isn't that insane? Because we thought he wasn't going to be anywhere, right? I know. I remember saying last year, Daniel Jones is going to make a lot of money. He's not done. He's going to be better when he gets away. And now he's leading that Colts team. And in that division, as I just had Monday Night Football, and let me flip back as I see the Cubs are up 3-0, and I don't really care to watch this game in the first inning. The Chiefs were up 14-0, now 14-7 over the Jaguars. Evan Ingram scored a touchdown this weekend for the Denver Broncos. Remember him? Oh, Darren Waller, who this regime traded for, brought in, got nothing out of him. He's scoring touchdowns with the Miami Dolphins. We got to make sure we add his name to the list that includes Xavier McKinney, who's got a bunch of interceptions since last year and this year with the Green Bay Packers after leaving the Giants. Who am I forgetting? Leonard Williams, Julian Love. There's more. It's a long list of guys. Where if you're a Giants fan, you say, hey, what the hell? Gettleman actually had some guys. He hit on some guys. We had some Pro Bowl talent. We had some actual players. And you shipped all those guys out, and you drafted all these other guys that are suspect as hell, that are on bust watch. Pause. Let's go to Steve and Rockland on the fan. What's up, Steve?
Well, you just ran down the roster of ex-Giants who are performing. When I was very happy to see when I saw Sterling Shepard grabbing that ball in the end zone yesterday. You know, he was a gamer. I don't understand any, but
you
know what?
You could use him now with Malik Nabers down and Darius Slayton being terrible. You could use another receiver like that.
You know what? I'm going to tell you that both, I'm not saying I could have gotten behind those guys, you know, but I would have caught both those balls that
any NFL receiver is supposed to catch those balls. You would think Darius Slayton would be, he probably couldn't sleep the night before knowing, hey, Malik Nabers is down, I'm the number one, I'm getting everything.
You know, and he's a good guy, you know, off the field. I mean, he's definitely a good guy. But really, what I want to talk about is, and you mentioned it with the guest, all right? You know, Giants drafted Abdul Carter third, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, defensive player, linebacker from Penn State. And then he actually, and I didn't, you know what, it's interesting because I think the best thing not to watch is the NFL draft because everybody's going to the Hall of Fame at
sure.
night.
Yep.
Right? Everyone's going to the Hall of Fame. And then, you know, so I really didn't see him play a lot at Penn State, you know, game. Flow of the game, whatever. I didn't.
Yeah.
But here's Abdul. And now he asks LT for his
because he was like that at Penn State. He wore that number 11, which usually is like, you know, their right. top defensive player. He played since a freshman there. But you can see even him, who we didn't worry about so much because he was just a surefire thing, right? Preseason training camp. You don't got to worry about Abdul Carter. You do if you're not using him correctly.
Wait. So in the meantime, I'm thinking if this guy is going to ask LT for his number,
he's not LT. He's nowhere near LT.
No. Let me just say something. That if the first game, the games, and I think LT's first season they were 3-12-1, and he was the defensive rookie of the year because he was unblockable, unstoppable. And you know what? In the history of the NFL, all right, and you could go from, I go from 2 points for the Mountaineer. The merger with the All-American Football Conference, that which brought the Colts, the 49ers, and the Browns into the NFL. Or you could go from the 58 championship game, which really kind of ushered in this whole television era initially. But in that time period, there have been three players where the game had to be redesigned because of their ability. One was Jim Brown, okay? One was Jim Brown. The second was Bob Hayes, for whom the zone defense was invented exclusively. And the third one, and it was a long time in between Bob Hayes, you know, in the early 60s to LT in 1983. And the third one was Lawrence Taylor. All right. And, you know, I'm thinking, is Abdul Carter going to cause these teams? And you know what? You know what? They're still giving up big plays.
Thanks for the call, Steve. I mean, Abdul Carter, and I had this in my notes. This came from Big Blue Film Room. Shout out to that. And that's another thing. As we will talk about the Jets, these teams, the Jets and Giants, don't deserve the amount of content creators that they have. There are so many podcasts and film breakdown accounts and guys analyzing and agonizing over Jets and Giants football every week. I know you guys love the teams, but I know you got to be sick watching the film of how they turn the ball over, commit penalties. Abdul Carter from Big Blue Film Room generated 6 pressures on 23 pass rushes. That's a 26.1% in week 5, with 4 of his pressures coming with under 2.5 seconds. He was there, and we obviously saw, like, he's not supposed to be playing linebacker. He's supposed to be an edge rusher, man. You're supposed to put him against a guy that's bigger, slower, that he's supposed to get a couple steps, either take him inside, swim, put a move on him, get to the quarterback. But if I'm reading this correctly, the Giants registered 0 sacks against Spencer Rattler and the Aints. Nobody got home. Nobody got home. So pressures are cool, but little Spencer Rattler was able to get the ball out. Here's Spencer Rattler after the game. As I said, I had 2 pieces of audio for you. One a little lighthearted, one a little bit more concerning. Here's Spencer Rattler on the job.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices. at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Giants defense talking after he gets his first win in the NFL after 12 tries. Give us 1 second here. Technical difficulties. The computer froze. My computer, the internet was tripping out for a minute. I just restarted it and we're good now. I think on your end, I don't know if you got to restart those computers. Those computers in there, they're running Windows 2000. You know what? A random side note. Like I have this MacBook. My life runs through MacBooks. I've been a slave to Apple and the MacBook since I was in college. And AppleCare is $99 a year, and I forgot about the AppleCare, and they just hit me for, plus the taxes, like $106.91 the other day, and I was like, damn. I'm like, one, I forgot that I had this MacBook for a year. Two, I forgot that the Apple Pay, but it's worth it. This MacBook that I have in front of me, if you guys are watching on YouTube, my phone dropped out of my hand, bounced off the keyboard, hit the screen within the first 3 or 4 days that I got this MacBook, and it put like a black stripe in the screen. I had to go right back to American Dream Apple Store and put the thing in the shop. And they ran me like $800 for that because I didn't have Apple Care. So then I paid another $100 for the Apple Care. And so now, whatever, I'll pay $100 for the Apple Care because who knows what's going to happen to this MacBook. And I need it to do every single thing that I do. Okay, back to where we were. Technical difficulties have ended. Spencer Rattler, who was defeated in his NFL career from his rookie season to his sophomore season right now. And I told you guys this last week that the Saints are looking at the Giants like, this is a win for us too. It wouldn't be that easy. Spencer Rattler, this is what he had to say about Shane Bowen and the Giants defense.
Yeah, really good front. Probably one of the best in the league. You know, we got to have a good plan for them. A lot of speed, a lot of power. You know, on the back end, they don't do as much as what we've seen, you know, from these other teams, disguise-wise. But, you know, they got their wrinkles and everything. But they run what they do well and can cause some havoc, you know, to quarterbacks and offenses. So we got to get the ball out on time, take our shots when they're there, and just move the chains.
Now, Kellen Moore, who is the head coach of the Saints, formerly the offensive coordinator of the Eagles, before that, the offensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, I should have known that he was going to know what to do against the Giants. Between Rashid Shaheed running right past Tyler Newbin and then them finding spots to get Chris Olave wide open, Spencer Rattler ate against this Giants defense. He went 21 of 31 with 225 yards and a touchdown. And you can put that right up against Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, Jaden Daniels, and Patrick Mahomes. You played much better quarterbacks this season than Spencer Rattler, and he ends up getting a win and having one of his better games. 888-808-1019. I mean, it's tough, man. That's a game that the Giants should have won, but nobody can win giving the ball away on 4 consecutive possessions. Yes, that was a stat out there, that they gave the ball away 4 times in a row, and they were backbreakers. They were just frustrating. Like, yo, Dart, if you're going to run the ball, homie, don't be carrying it out there. Like, I don't even know who you think you're. Josh Allen? You're not Josh Allen, bro. Josh Allen is a monster of a man. He's got big hands. He can hold the football in one hand and run with it. You're running with the ball in one hand. You're knocking it off yourself to fumble. It's not a good look. Let's go to Student in Buffalo on the Fan. How you doing, man?
Keith, you know, man. Ball security is job security, my man. That goes for Cam. That goes for Dart.
Josh Allen struggled with it in the beginning of his career some, but he figured it out. You know, he doesn't turn the ball over as much anymore. I remember comparing his turnovers to Dak and saying, hey, they always talk about Dak turning over the ball. How about Josh Allen? He has cleaned it up between his MVP season and now.
I hear you, and Daniel Jones has cleaned it up, but Daniel Jones isn't an anomaly, because you watch Geno Smith win comeback player of the year over in San Fran. You watch Sam Darnold kind of do his thing, who also got shipped out, do his thing. And most importantly,
Baker Mayfield.
You saw Baker Mayfield, right? So it's not an anomaly, guys getting in a different system.
Change the scenery.
Trying in a different way.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. But with all those things where people are just like, you know, Dable's the problem, you kind of have a responsibility a little bit to kind of quell the emotionality of a lot of New York City teams not being stalwarts or givens What responsibility or kind of like what stoicism do you have to kind of answer these questions pragmatically where, hey, you know, people getting shipped off and having success are not an anomaly. You just got to wait for the perfect core collective of a group like Shane and Dable to kind of find their core soldiers.
I know you know Shane and Dable well because they came from Buffalo and they came over here with the thought of, okay, look at what Buffalo turned into, drafting and developing their own talent and now being, you know, perennial contenders. Also, Josh Allen, I've got on this radio and I said, I'm tired of hearing about what Dable did with Josh Allen. He's been better since he's not been coached by Brian Dable. Just let Josh Allen be Josh Allen. But I'll say this, I don't think it's my responsibility at all as a host. I'm not a Giants fan. I'm not a Jets fan. I'm a free agent in the NFL. I don't have a team that I root for. I just root for my fantasy team and my anytime touchdown parlays. If fans want to fire the head coach, I understand. Fans are flying planes over the building. They want to fire Dable. His seat has been hot the last now three seasons, including this one. I get it because you know what? You want to win. And as I just went through the names of all of the players from Daniel Jones to Evan Ingram to Darren Waller to Xavier McKinney to Julian Love and, of course, Saquon Barkley that have gone elsewhere and succeeded, it's not an anomaly. Clearly, you had the talent in your building and couldn't get enough out of them, and you shipped them off thinking that you knew better to draft better and develop better and go in a different direction, and it hasn't worked. So I think Brian Dable is a dead man walking, and his last-ditch effort right now is to hitch his wagon to Jackson Dart. And he is. Jackson Dart, I mean, he had a good game and then a bad game. We'll see what happens the rest of the season, but Dart is going...
wouldn't you believe it? Wouldn't you believe it even after last night, the Bills to come into the Patriots, there's guys all over WGR and stuff like that, fire McDermott.
Nah, that's just one game, and you kind of tip your cap to Mike Vrabel and Drake May.
Sure do.
That's actually a lane I wanted to get into. Thanks for the call. Like, Drake May could have been a Giant. You guys see the throws this kid makes, and he's an athlete. He can run a little bit, too. Like, Drake May would have been a Giant if the Giants regime of Dable and Shane didn't say, we got to win some games, right? You also could have traded Saquon Barkley that year, but whatever. You wanted to win some games, and it's so backwards ass because you wanted to win some games with Tommy DeVito, which took you out of that number two pick to draft Drake May. Okay, but then also in the same year, you said you didn't want to mess up the locker room because Saquon Barkley had so much value as a leader in that locker room. He meant more to those guys than any other player. And then the following year, when it's time to pay the man, you play the man and you try to put it all on Hard Knocks like, oh, yeah, there's a couple people, Chicago, Philly, but they're not going to pay Saquon. You thought Saquon was just going to come crawling back and take nothing. What happened to him being important to the team? What happened to John Mara coming in and saying, I'm going to lose a lot of sleep at night if Saquon signs with the Eagles? Me too, John Mara. A lot of us, John Mara. And Saquon goes down the turnpike to the Eagles, rushes for 2,000 yards, which he could never do with the Giants because they could still, and to this day, we're watching Greg Van Roten and John Michael Schmitz, these guys getting blown up, Jermaine Illuminor, still can't build an offensive line. First year, Saquon goes away to the Eagles, 2,000 yards, Super Bowl champs. He's coming back Thursday. You guys will see him out there. Ernest is in Norwalk, Connecticut on the fan. What you thinking about, man?
Okay, yes. I just want to say about that running back, Scatterboo. This guy reminds me of one of those throwback running backs from back in the day. I like him as a runner. And I just hope that they do not try to use him to be the sole running back. Cause his style of running, he could get, you know, injured. I mean, he just likes to run over people. You know what I mean?
He thinks he's made out of steel. Thanks for the call, Ernest. Let's get this clear. I said he's running back one, but he was not running back one. Tyrone Tracy was. He is a whole rookie. He fumbled the ball in a terrible spot. He's going to learn to not take so many hits. Honestly, between him and Dart, as I'm watching the game, I'm like, these rookies play with such reckless abandon. It's obvious that this is their first year in the NFL. There's so many games left. They're not going to make it the whole season. They take so many hits, and it's like, well, damn, you're not going to be around. You might not make it to the bye week. But yes, Cam Scataboo is RB number one because Tyrone Tracy is hurt. Devin Singletary is not really anything, and it's just where you are. But you know, this Brian Daboll era, I don't know if he survives. If they lose out, and we're about to go to a break, and we'll talk about the Jets next, speaking of losing out, I don't know if he can survive even with Jackson Dart looking like the guy with what they're about to face. You had to win that Saints game. You had to get back-to-back wins after shocking the world and beating the undefeated Chargers. You can't go from losing to the undefeated Chargers to losing to the defeated Saints. Now you've got the Eagles on a short week, Denver Broncos in the altitude, Eagles in their building, 49ers in your building. Maybe you can get with the Bears, but you got to go to Soldier Field. The Packers by then are going to be rolling like it. Then you got to face the Lions. I just was talking about Drake May, Mike Vrabel, and the Patriots. Like, there's a chance that the Giants are going to go on a losing streak here, maybe win a game, and then a losing streak out. And it's just like, I don't know if you can survive 3 years of, less than 6-7 wins. Like, I don't think they're getting a 6-7. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We got to take a break. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. Imagine being the Jets, the only defeated team in the NFL, 0-5. And, like, they faced a Dallas Cowboys team who was missing, I think, four starters on the offensive line, two starting receivers in CeeDee Lamb and Kevontae Turpin, a team that had only one other win, and it came against the New York Football Giants. And they played a close game for a little while, and then it just got out of hand. And as I'm sitting on the couch, I tweet out, what are the Jets at this point? Like, I'm out of words as I'm watching Sauce Gardner get bullied by George Pickens for a deep ball touchdown after Jake Ferguson has already scored twice. Javonte Williams is breaking run, and Breece Hall puts the ball on the ground. They're not able to absolutely carve apart the Cowboys secondary as Caleb Williams was able to, Jordan Love was able to, Russell Wilson was able to. I'm like, what are the Jets at this point? The Jets are the only team in NFL history to go 0-5 and have zero takeaways. They found a way to jet. They found a way to do something similar like how the Mets were like the only team to never come back in the eighth inning or later. Like, they found a way to just break the game and do something we've never seen. And you can blame Justin Fields, but there's a lot of people going out there to put Justin Fields' numbers out. Again, similar to Judge. Men lie. Women lie, numbers don't, but numbers do. Yeah, Justin Fields hasn't thrown any interceptions. He's got some passing touchdowns. He's got some rushing touchdowns. He's got a good passer rating. He's not the main problem. But there was a stat that I read about Justin Fields, especially when you're looking at quarterbacks in this NFL, right? Justin Fields is 0-26 as a starter when the opponent scores 21 points or more. Man, go look at what Baker Mayfield does when it's time to come back, score a touchdown, come back, get in the field goal range, and win. Baker is turning into like one of my favorite players in the NFL. I saw those creamsicle unis. I'm like, I kind of need one of those low-key. And since I'm an NFL free agent, the Bucs are in my top three. The Bills are out now, so the Bucs move up a little further. And I mean, I go to Tampa every single spring for the Yankees. Right across the street is Raymond James Stadium. But back to the Jets, Aaron Glenn, I said after week two, week three, that he put on a facade and he had me fooled. And I believe too, coaching, we're going to coach him up. We're not the same old Jets. We're the New York freaking Jets. We're going to be disciplined. You know, if you put the team in jeopardy or you make a mistake, well, you won't be here. Man, all of that in one ear and out one other, and out the other. All that clapping after a loss. All that, oh, I saw some positive things. It's not instant coffee. Well, damn. It's not instant coffee for everybody else in the league that's got at least one win. Oh, big ships turn slow. No. He has sank into the same fate that has met so many other Jets head coaches. And now he doesn't seem so tough. Now he can't take that hard stance with the media. And I remember saying, hey, all of this tough talk, all of this being short with the media, that works until you lose games. You got to win. And they haven't found a way to win yet. And as I look at this Jets schedule, you call me up and tell me where the next win is coming from. You call me up and tell me when the Jets get their first win. You can't say it's the Panthers. The Panthers just beat the Dolphins. The Bengals, maybe. But I would hope by then, if the Bengals want to do anything, they get a different quarterback. Some were saying it might be Mike White. Miggity, Mike White. Mike freaking White. I'm like, where in the world is Mike White right now? He got released by the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, he's hanging around with the Cincinnati Bengals. So maybe we line up by October 26th to see Mike White versus the Jets. John is in Freehold with us next. What's up, John?
How you doing, Keith?
Good.
It's been rough, Keith. It's, to say the least, it's been a rough start. I know they've been snake-bitten with injuries. I know losing Elijah Vera Tucker before the start of the season, a stud offensive veteran lineman, was a big blow to them to get their season started. And I know Jermaine Johnson's gone down and Quincy Williams has gone down, as well as Michael Carter. But you just look at the dumb, boneheaded plays, the penalties, the missed tackles, the unprofessionalism, and the disorganization on the field.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have a veteran presence on the defensive side of the ball. And I haven't heard anybody mention this, Keith, but losing C.J. Mosley to retirement was a major blow to this team. That spot was supposed to be filled by Damian Sherwood. They gave him a lot of money, and they believed in him. He had a good season a year ago, and he just hasn't showed up. He just hasn't been there for them at all. And if when you lose points forward, Keith, I'm looking at two things. I'm looking at player development and just tightening things up and making things better, and also looking forward to the trade deadline coming up November 4th, the NFL trade deadline. Now, Mason Taylor and Membu, the offensive linemen, have looked good in their rookie season so far. I'm pleased with them. And Jeremy Ruckert seems to be a different tight end as well. They're getting him the ball more, and he's being productive when he catches it. So I like what they're doing with the tight ends, Jeremy Ruckert and Mason Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, Garrett Wilson is out there on an island all by himself. He's getting double and triple teamed. He's getting totally frustrated and twisted out of the field. What's going on with Arian Smith? This guy, they brought in another draft pick from this year's draft. He's got blazing speed. They got to design more plays for this kid. They got to get him more involved. They got to get his head in the game, and they got to develop him at a faster rate for two reasons. Number one, to alleviate the pressure from Garrett Wilson and also give Justin Fields another weapon to utilize, because he doesn't have very many. And also just to evaluate him and see if he's got anything going forward for next year, because otherwise you're going to have to draft a receiver for sure, which I think they're going to have to do anyway. I think they need a solid 1A receiver to go next to Garrett Wilson next year in the draft. That's something that they're definitely going to have to address. And the play calling this past week, Keith, Justin Fields is known as a running quarterback, and he's been very good with it this year. They designed no running plays for him this past Sunday. None. Nothing at all.
Yeah, no design runs.
It's ridiculous. But going ahead to the trade deadline, what I would do is this, Keith. I'm not going to make the same mistake the New York Giants made with Saquon Barkley. It's apparent, it appears, that they don't want to pay Breece Hall. He's not part of their long-term plan. So if that's the case, you got to make the best possible trade that you can make for Breece Hall, and you got to trade him by the November 4th trade deadline. You also got to get Alan Lazard out of here. And I'm sorry, Keith, everybody, you know, throws rose petals at Quentin Williams, what a stud he is. He's an all-pro.
I was going to say he's a veteran at this point. He's been around 6 years.
But he's not playing a veteran role. He's not stepping up and holding people accountable and being the glue to this defense. I would look for a Jamal Adams-type trade for the NFL trade deadline with Quentin Williams, and I would look to make a big package moving him out and bring him back as much as you can. Those are the three guys, Breece Hall, Alan Lazard, and Quentin Williams. If you can move those guys during the November 4th trade deadline and stockpile draft picks and just continue to add on, you know, add talent to this team, because they don't have any playmakers, they don't have any disruptive forces on the defense that are guaranteed, that they're there every week. And that's the loss with C.J. Mosley. I know he got long in the tooth. I know he had a lot of injuries at the end of his career. But he was a true warrior. He was a true professional. He was a true veteran that held guys accountable. And he was the glue of that defense.
Yeah, but it was time. It was time. Thanks for the call, John. We're up against it. It was time. Only thing I disagreed with was Armon Membu, who looked good the first week, couple weeks. And then he ducked the media. Ryan Dunleavy reported over the weekend that right tackle Armon Membu declined multiple interview requests after committing 4 penalties of the Jets' 11. And looking at the box score, it says the Jets had 10 and the Cowboys had 11. But like, for the Cowboys to commit 11 penalties for 91 yards and you to get beat like that, I mean, 10 for 61 doesn't help. I guess we're already thinking draft and trade deadline for the Jets. I mean, I can't fault you for it. Like, 0-5, there's nothing else to dream of. I know Justin Fields is dreaming of making the playoffs and turning this thing around, but what do you expect the guy to say? He's a quarterback of the team. It's just unfortunate to see a new regime start off worse than the regimes prior to it, and that's why I go back to what I said over the weekend. At this point, what are the Jets? What are we looking at right now? They are the worst team in the NFL again, and it seems like they've been the worst franchise for a decade and a half. 888-808-1019. I could still take some calls. Antoine Staley will join us at 10:30. We got to go to the break. Peter Schwartz will hit you with the update. We'll come back. We'll keep hitting the football conversation. Keith McPherson on the Fan. BRB.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.